Hey, it's Ryan Seacrest here, and if you're looking for some serious fun, head over to ChumbaCasino.com. At Chumba Casino, you can play all your favorite social casino-style games for free anytime, anywhere. It's the most fun you can have on your phone or computer.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21+.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Live right here on SportsGrid, this is the Early Line, hour number two on a Thursday morning. We start with some of the news in the NBA last night. Rockets, Lakers. Houston wins 139 to 130. LeBron, a triple-double in 45 minutes of work and was a game worst, minus 17. Jalen Green, who's been in the NBA for 60 games, said, yeah, our plan was to attack Carmelo Anthony, a near two-decade veteran of the sport. Here is the thing about this loss that I think really captures this Lakers season. To me, Donnie, is that it doesn't matter. That's how bad I think the Lakers season is going. It's a headline story, no doubt about it. But it's more of the same. I can't sit here and tell you I'm stunned. That'd be naive. They're almost 10 games under 500. They lose far more often than win.
The Lakers are 9-21 on the road. Let that sink in here. 9-21. And if I get out the old good old crystal ball and say, hey, Kev, look, they're going to play the Rockets tonight. Get this. Austin Reeves going to drop 17. Monk's going to drop 20. Westbrook's going to get you 30 tonight. Whoa! 149-108 Lakers in a runaway rout. And, oh, yes, LeBron's going to get a triple-double. They lost this game. And worse, they lost it here in overtime, which means those tired legs from LeBron James may need another night off sooner than later. But as we keep talking about the Lakers, it's the same thing that keeps popping up for me. The Lakers don't care right now. Their only thing that they're worried about is getting into the playing game and just being healthy with Anthony Davis coming back. They're not getting pressed. And I got to tell you, like, the league has to like this, going, thank you, Portland. Because if you just said, hey, you know what? Nurkic is going to play. We're not going to trade away the team. You would have passed the Lakers and got into the playoffs. But the fact that they're tanking and doing a one, you talk about, you know, put poster child for the tank. The Philadelphia 76ers. A couple years ago, trusting the process here. The process is real strong in Portland right now. They are leaving no doubt in your mind that they're showing up to your building and ready to get waxed.
I just don't understand how the Lakers' last two wins are versus Utah and Golden State, sandwiched between all this other junk that they have put forward. Again, like, I can't sit here and find myself moved by this result. I'm not going to scream. I thought about having a little fun and saying, look at LeBron putting up a great triple-double performance as he marches towards MVP. I can't bother. You know, it's just, it is what it is. Like, I've never seen a LeBron team have such a meaningless regular season. None of it matters. Well, like, here's the state of the Lakers. Fade them in the regular season, as you've been doing all season long. We'll see if Anthony Davis is back for the play-in, and we'll go from there. That's how I view it right now, Donnie. I don't know how else I'm supposed to view this basketball team. Yes, I genuinely believe in my heart of hearts they are a better bet to win their conference than the Brooklyn Nets through a value perspective. Yes, I still believe LeBron James is a top five player in the NBA, as everybody should. That's clear and obvious. But again, outside of that, it's the same song and dance. They're bad. Fade them. We'll see what the play-in matchup is.
You're right. And you take a look here at the Lakers, right? 2-8 in their last 10. They could probably go 2-8 in the next 10 and won't lose any ground in their playoff seeding. Just how wild the West is this year. And that's probably going to help the Lakers and be their saving grace.
Yeah, it's truly wild how this season has played out here. The radio audience in the mix with us on a Thursday morning. Kevin Walsh and Donnie Wrightside. It's the Early Line on Sports Grid Radio. Elsewhere in the NBA last night, Bucks, Donnie, winners of six in a row. Giannis, another fantastic performance, 43-12 and 5. Milwaukee
creeping up that board for the number one spot in the Eastern Conference. The most recent odds to an MVP almost seemingly tried to eliminate Giannis Antetokounmpo. He was back to 9-1 on the heels of two fantastic performances. It's up to plus 750. Are the odds eliminating Giannis a little too quickly?
I think a little bit too quickly, right? Because what's still to be determined in the Eastern Conference, who's going to get that top overall seed, which I think is going to go a long way in the MVP race. Yesterday, I had Chris Middleton, who I seem to keep on going back and getting these buckets out of Middleton, over 20.5 points in this game. Now, as you know, it's a back-to-back game. I said, hey, my confidence in this was pretty high because he didn't play over 30 minutes last night. I opened up the score sheet, Kev, midway through the second quarter. Middy's got 0 points. So I automatically chalked this one up as a terrible loss, only to do my rollover and see Middy finish with 23 points last night. So if you're going to get performances out of Giannis, 43 points, Middleton, 23 points, and heck, how about the biggest guy capitalizing on playing time this season due to injuries, Bobby Portis with 23 points and seemingly one of the better three-point shooters in the NBA? It's a tough team to knock out playoff time, that's for sure.
Yeah, but look, I think the Giannis number is a little disrespectful because I really don't know how Embiid wins it the award if Giannis and the Bucks have a better record. I don't get it. I don't really agree with Embiid flipping the minus money at this point in time. Because also, as I've tried to, you know, watch this all play out, I don't really understand how Jokic isn't going to win MVP. 38-18-7 last night in the win versus Sacramento. Four games into March, he's averaging 35-15-9 on 66% shooting from the field. Jokic right now is playing otherworldly basketball here. That MVP race is still wide open. Let's talk about Joel Embiid, Sixers next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Sixers Nets, a game that everybody has been waiting for. A game that, despite featuring Kevin Durant and Joel Embiid and James Harden and Kyrie Irving, will have the superstar be a man who won't step onto the floor and will be on the bench in Ben Simmons. The Nets are a 4.5-point dog in Philadelphia. The total for this one is 230. I ask you first this, though, Donnie. Your expectations and whether or not you think it impacts the game for Ben Simmons' return to Philadelphia.
It's a lot of fun. It's going to be a lot of fun, the city of brotherly love tonight, and that certainly should be put to the test. Now, the interesting part here, I think the easy move would have actually been, Kevin, to not have Ben Simmons come on this road trip, or at least not come on this trip to Philadelphia. Now, Brooklyn is only a few hours away here, being in the heart of the city, but it's not like they're coming from San Francisco or coming from Los Angeles, where it's 3,000 miles, and, hey, we're not going to send a plane 3,000 miles to come pick you up. This is a very easy one. Say, hey, why don't you just stay back here and meet us after the game at the airport, and then we'll fly to our next destination. It seems like the easiest way to do it here, but I love the theater. I love the pageantry, and I don't know how this happened, but kudos to the NBA, because I'm sure they didn't know this was going to take place. But how this is a 7:30 tip in Philadelphia and the only basketball game on a Thursday night that's going to be played until the Warriors-Nuggets game tips off at 10 o'clock. This is unbelievable, and it's going to get so much more hype than even it probably should, because why? It's a standalone game. I can't wait for this one.
It is going to be a wild atmosphere. Probably has to be the wildest of the entire NBA season that we will see so far. I don't really know what to expect, because there is clearly vitriol around Ben Simmons and Philadelphia, but he's not going to be on the court. Are they going to be chanting at him during every timeout?
Yes.
In the midst of the game? The thing is, they're obviously going to be cheering as much as imaginable for Embiid and Harden, whatever they do. Kyrie, which is kind of a Kyrie thing anyway, will be booed every time he touches the ball, just because basically nobody seems to like Kyrie, whatever opposing gym he finds himself in. Certainly not the Boston ones, which had a wild chant over the weekend. We saw that all play out there. I think from this side, which quite literally just moved to a flat five as I was talking, is a spot where I'd actually rather back the Brooklyn Nets. I think there's going to be a lot of people saying, give me Philadelphia. Philly goes out there. They cover every single game with Harden. All of that is true, right? Or, you know, they nearly cover every single game with Harden. Look, they have been dominant. The Brooklyn Nets, despite being an awful team against the spread, have been delightful on the road. 5-0-1 against the spread in their last six road games, a winning record against the spread on the road. This is going to be a close basketball game because I'll tell you this right now, Don, this game matters to Embiid, matters to Harden, and I know you know this, and I hope nobody out there thinks for a single second that this game does not matter to Kevin Durant and that this game does not matter to Kyrie Irving.
Yeah, it might even be a little bit different here if this game was actually played in Brooklyn. Why? Because Kyrie Irving wouldn't be able to take the court in this game. But since it's a road game, Kyrie can play along with KD, and that's a dynamic duo. I mean, hey, this guy's coming off a 50-point performance and can certainly do that again. I do think we get a decent amount of tempo in this game because if we're looking from a defensive perspective, a lot to be desired here, but if you're looking from superstars on both sides, James Harden, Joel Embiid, Tobias Harris to be left wide open like he typically is now when those two play together, and also from a Brooklyn perspective, I don't care if you line up your best defenders against Kyrie Irving or Kevin Durant, they are going to get theirs, and Kevin Durant, a little bit underwhelming in his last performance because they didn't need him because Kyrie dropped a 50 spot. This should be a fun game, so looking at the FanDuel Sportsbook here, that total listed around the 230 price. Legitimately, Kevin, both of these teams to me should be over 110 points apiece, which should put you right in the building here of that 230 range. I think that's a better look, but I like the fact where if you're looking for contrarian value, it just seems to me like the buildup, everybody's waiting. The Sixers want to exact revenge, and you're right. Ben Simmons isn't even on the court in this one. Does James Harden want to get a little revenge on the Nets? Sure he does. But you're still talking about two really capable all-star, all-pro level players in Kyrie Irving and Kevin Durant that are going to be playing side by side. And it's not a pick'em. As you said, the FanDuel Sportsbook just moved to a five in this spot. Dare I say, leaning towards the Nets being a Sixer fan tonight, we should get a good performance. But actually hoping deep down, this ends up being like a 130-100 performance by the Sixers with Joel Embiid dropping a 50 spot and doing one of those old little, you know, finger points and salutes over to the bench with Ben Simmons repeatedly here.
Well, yeah, if he points towards Ben Simmons, that's going to be absolute pandemonium. I agree with the over. I hope it's not one of those spots where it feels too easy and then everybody goes cold. But you look at Brooklyn, obviously the last two games have, I mean, 246 points, 253 points in those two games. Nearly every single game with Harden has cashed over the number there, falling just shy in the Chicago game. The over makes all the sense in the world to me at a 230.5 number because I think, Don, not only with both teams, you know, you talk about 110, 115, 120s. These two teams are going to fly up and down the court, and it puts all of the player props in range. The beautiful thing about a game like this is there's going to be something for everybody here. But the stars, KD and Kyrie, Harden and Embiid, four guys that people routinely love to get a piece of. And if this game is as explosive as it seems as we both believe it is, there's going to be plenty of opportunity to cash them over tickets. What are you thinking for these four guys tonight? Who are you targeting and how are you targeting them?
Yeah, Kevin Durant, Kyrie Irving, and Joel Embiid, I all think have big nights tonight, and rightfully so. We're taking a look at a total there. It's priced in the 230s. They should do that. But having said that, James Harden, there's two ways you can go tonight. And if we're taking a look at James Harden, he's not the guy that's going to give you 30 points each and every night, right? It's going to be hovering in that high teens, low 20s numbers. But you figure he's got extra motivation going up against the Brooklyn Nets. But I think the sportsbooks know that as well, Kevin. You see the FanDuel Sportsbook hanging at 25.5 price, which means he's got to get 26 points or more in this game. He can have an unbelievable impact on this game, Kevin, going for 20, 15, and 10 and getting a triple-double. Mm-hmm. But I'm going to fade that number here where he's not going to go over. He said, Donnie, why would you do that? Like, this is a game where these guys circle the calendar. Like, he's going to shoot way more times. I understand that. But that doesn't always mean because I want to exact revenge, I'm going to drop a 30 spot here. Now, having said that, the Philadelphia 76ers, I do think could win this game. Of course, they're favored by 5 points. But I think Joel Embiid has the bigger impact. We talked about it the other day, Kevin. If you don't have a center like a Bam Adebayo to sort of check Joel Embiid, he can certainly run wild and get you into foul trouble relatively quickly. But more important, you're looking at the Sixers who want this win and put this notch under the belt for two reasons, right? They also want to beat the Nets, knock them down. They also want to win to increase their standing in the Eastern Conference. But number three on the outside, we talk about Joel Embiid. He sees what Nikola Jokic is doing night in and night out. Mm-hmm. Even if the Sixers win, it'll feel good. But they can't win with Joel Embiid going for 24-9-6, which would be a great night, but he would lose ground in the MVP. As equally as the Sixers want to win this game, Joel Embiid really wants that MVP award. I think he has a monster night tonight across the board, Kevin.
This is a game that if Embiid goes out there and goes for 40-15 and a big win for Philly, it will be a huge boost because this is going to be one of the most watched games of the NBA season. Yeah. And the reality is that matters. Again, the balance of trying to talk about in an MVP betting market who you would vote for versus who is going to be voted for. I just told you Nikola Jokic last night had 38-17-8. How many people are talking about that, right? I mean, 38-18-7. I mean, whatever the number. I mean, ridiculous numbers. Is that leading a lot of your shows out there? It's not. On the road at Sacramento. It's just the Denver team isn't playing as in high profile of games. But the oddity of it is Denver plays in the nightcap versus Golden State. So it's kind of going to be a back and forth affair there, Donnie. If you go out there and you see Embiid again, 40-15 and a W, and then Steph goes out there and they take down Denver, who's on the second leg of a back-to-back, and Embiid starts to rock it up. I'll say this before we close out the segment. I'm back on Kevin Durant tonight. They brought the number down to 28.5. It's absolute pandemonium to me that they would even do such a thing. It's Kevin Durant. Okay, oh, he had a bad game. He shot 6-13 because Kyrie couldn't miss, so he just let Kyrie handle the business there. KD, big environment. It's all KD. He goes for 30-plus, no doubt in my mind, versus Philly. Come right back. The early line continues.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Kevin Walsh and Donnie Wrightside. Before we hit the college game, I just want to let people know tonight, Denver, Golden State, Nuggets are catching 3 points. Take a look at that total, 222.5. Denver as a home dog is 4-1 to the over and play more overs than unders when they are playing without rest. So it's a good spot there for points to be put up on the board. And as you can see from the TV graphic there, it says 220.5. So it goes to show people have been clicking over, already up 2 points and could perhaps continue to climb in that direction. Making the transition, though, to college basketball. Again, games are going to be rocking and rolling all day long. Very, very excited. Wanted to go, though, towards the Big 12. And yesterday, we saw Kansas State and West Virginia get involved. I mentioned inside hour number one, the over six. It's dwindled down to the over four. But we knew we were going to have one team staying alive from this conference or from this game with both Kansas State and West Virginia playing 70% of their conference games towards the over. West Virginia gets the win. They're going to see Kansas today, Donnie. And Kansas is a big favorite. But I feel like Kansas has been playing some questionable basketball for a while. When you and I did our breakdown of the Big 12 tournament, it felt like of the Big Four, which is, of course, Baylor, Kansas, Texas Tech, and Texas, we made a case for all of them other than Kansas. You look at this game here with West Virginia. Is this a spot where you think they could be on upset alert?
I don't know if they are, because you try to take a look the same way we looked at like Duke and Syracuse. Like, hey, you know, one team got a win. They're going to step up and play their next game. We'll see if it turns out, because Duke wasted Syracuse twice. Well, the same thing here that we're going to take a look at in this game today, because West Virginia didn't fare very well versus Kansas this year, losing 85-59 and also 71-58 on the road. So it's okay, nice win, and we'll see if they can extend that momentum, but I don't know how long that momentum is going to last. And also keep in mind, Kansas didn't play great basketball down the stretch. Baylor's a pretty good basketball team. TCU's a pretty good basketball team. Texas is a pretty good basketball team. They're still going to be able to pick up this win. I would be hard-pressed to see today if Kansas Kansas can't pick up a double-digit win today over West Virginia. It's not a great West Virginia team, and if you go over the years, you say, hey, man, West Virginia plays really good defense. Not necessarily. 10th out of 10 teams in conference play this year at defensive efficiency. And why does that hurt? Kansas number one in conference play at offensive efficiency. So a terrible matchup all the way through. I think Kansas runs through the Mountaineers today.
For me, again, the eyes towards the total. Mid-140s, 146 and a half. Good enough for me. Again, the plan is to bet all of those teams that are remaining towards the over throughout their conference games. It started 2-0 yesterday. We'll look to keep that momentum here with 146 and a half. Obviously, it's very likely going to be the last time we're placing a bet on West Virginia. So we'll enjoy it while it lasts. The game I really wanted to talk about, though, in the Big 12 is Texas Tech and Iowa State. Iowa State feel like they've lived 100 lives during this NCAA season, where, oh, they're undervalued and they're not really respected to, okay, nope, never mind, you guys were right. They're under 500 in the conference, and they've been struggling to put together results, it feels like, for a good while now, Donnie. They're catching 7.5, 8 points here from the Red Raiders. Low, ugly total of 125. And a half. What do you think about Texas Tech and Iowa State?
Yeah, maybe a little bit too many points here. Now, do we think that Texas Tech's a better ball club than Iowa State? Sure they are. They certainly are. And they certainly play very good defense, number one in conference play at defensive efficiency, as we're talking about the Red Raiders here. But let's take a look at Iowa State's offense. Now, it is 9th in conference play, Kevin, at efficiency. So say, now hold on here. Number one most efficient defense, one of the worst offenses. They should be able to wipe them off the court. And they might be able to do that. But if I'm looking from a points perspective, taking about 7.5 points, so close to double digits, here's the equalizing factor that so many times we talk about, the three-point shooting. If we look here, Texas Tech's defense, 7th out of 10 teams at defending the three-point line here in conference play. And if we take a look at Iowa State, only 7th in conference play at making the three-point shot. But also, keep in mind, close to 40% of the total shots here during the season in conference play for Iowa State, Kevin, come from behind the arc. And why is that important? You know who's 10th in conference play at letting you shoot the three-point shot out of 10 teams? That's Texas Tech's defense. So whether or not Iowa State can score on the inside, which they really can't, not a very good team at converting inside the arc, but if you can stay hot from outside, you can equal up other teams. And also keep in mind, this game's not layered here, Kevin, in the 140, 145 range, 150 range here. Mm-hmm. You're getting a low total. So if we anticipate a runaway performance by Texas Tech, what does that mean? They get into the 60s? I think Iowa State can do enough to hang around and cover that line. Winning, that's going to be a little bit different. But if they get their three-point shots, even on average, Kevin, they should hang around in this one.
And it's what they've done all year long. I mean, you know, this is a team, by the way, that has a victory over Tech this year. But they're 11-5 against the number as an underdog throughout this season. They've covered their last three games as a dog, ultimately. It's just who Iowa State has been right now, projected to be on that 9 line in the most recent look at Bracketology. Other games involved today will be Texas and TCU, and then Baylor and Oklahoma. We'll see if the entire Big Four does move on. Let's go to the Big East. And I have to say, I was pretty surprised to see Xavier drop this game to Butler. I mentioned yesterday, hand up, got it wrong.
Yep.
Thought Xavier had some value in this Big East tournament. It's not how it worked out. And now it actually sets up very nicely for the team that Donnie was saying had a lot of value in Providence. Because Providence is a much bigger favorite today playing Butler than had they been playing Xavier. 7.5 points, a noon tip, a team, Donnie, that was also just in a war of an overtime game here. Things set up very, very nicely for the Friars to move on.
No, they do. They're without Al Durham for a few games heading down the stretch in Big East play. Looks like he's going to be back today to play. But you're correct. You know, if you wanted a better matchup here for Providence, it would be against Butler. Now, Butler in the past, very good team, slows it down, walks into the court, very efficient. Not in conference play this year, Kevin. Butler, 11 teams here in the Big East, dead last at 11th in efficiency, dead last from behind the arc. Not a very good basketball team overall. So if you look for Providence, maybe, as we say, Kevin, don't need a lot of luck to beat this Butler Bulldogs team, because if you're looking from Providence, 11 teams in conference, as we said. They're number three in overall offensive efficiency. Number one also, which I love. And this is a big factor here heading into conference tournament play and also more or less into March Madness. You're going to be playing at bigger arenas where the pressure is going to be up there. So maybe your three-point shooting or maybe your offensive game plan isn't working all that well. So what can you lean on? Usually we say defense, right? How about getting to the free throw line? Number one in conference play are the Providence Friars at getting to the free throw line, going up against a team with 11 teams in conference play, seventh in fouling. That should be the deciding factor. Providence shouldn't have any issues today. Even if Butler wants to slow it down, doesn't mean they're all that efficient at doing it. Give me Providence today with a nice, easy victory.
Yeah, they should move on. I think as far as the spread goes, one of the other things that's going to be fun to follow, right? As this happens every year, but as we get closer to the tournament, if you're someone who likes trends, I know I do. I certainly fit that mold. What applies and what doesn't? For example, Butler this year is 8-3 against the spread on the road. Now, they're not at home today, but it's a neutral site. How much does that matter when you're taking a look at a game like this one here today? Fun one to follow, no doubt about it. I wanted to bring up within this segment Villanova's game, though, DRS. They're going to play St. John's. The Johnnies went out there, played a DePaul team that has been fantastic against the spread and handled their business and handled it with ease in a very high-scoring affair, and that's what the anticipated total suggests here at 149.5. Nova is laying 6 in the Garden against Queen's very own. Any thoughts on Villanova St. John's?
Yeah, Villanova should win this game. Obviously, the higher seed and the better ball club. But let's also take a look at some extenuating circumstances that you usually don't get when you play on a neutral court site. Not a neutral court site for St. John's. They play quite a few games here at the Garden. And also keep in mind, sometimes you throw in like, hey, they're a fast team. No, St. John's is the fast team in the country, number one overall in tempo. And that should play into it, because if you have a game like St. John's going up against Villanova and you say, hey, they're already used to playing in the Garden because it's their home court, coupling by hanging 92 points on the board yesterday, this is going to be a fun one to watch play out. And also keep in mind, like, St. John's really needs these wins, right? Villanova, they pretty much got their ticket punched here. Not to say Villanova doesn't win the Big East tournament, because it's the grandest stage in New York City at Madison Square Garden. I got to tell you, maybe those Johnnies a little bit sneaky and getting up-tempo in the Garden on their home court today, Kevin.
Yeah, I think the Johnnies can give them a bit of a scare, like you mentioned, already playing in the building. But also, they were competitive in their two games versus Nova. Neither game went over the listed total in their initial meeting. The second one was booked at a 144 and actually pushed. The first time they met, it was a 142, and you only had a $1.35 put on the board. It's interesting to see the number 7 points higher than when they first met. Now, Villanova's been playing a bunch of overs to close out the regular season, which is something we identified there. I do wonder if it comes back a little bit to the pack today, though, because there is a world where Villanova says to themselves, all right, we cannot let St. John's get up and down this floor. So that 149.5 number is something I would preach maybe a little bit of patience on as far as looking to get after it. The other games in the Big East tournament today, Creighton and Marquette in that 4-5 game. Marquette is a 3-point favorite, total 142.5. And then UConn, Seton Hall. UConn only a 3.5-point favorite, yet somehow still more likely to win than that can't be, by the way. If they repost the Big East tournament odds, there is no way UConn is a bigger favorite, right, Donnie, than Providence to win the tournament?
It shouldn't be, but I don't know who's betting them or who's lining them up here. But yeah, Providence, again, just gets that extra notch here. We'll see how it plays out, but I agree with you.
Yeah, it'll be fun to watch, no doubt about it. Big Ten, SEC, Pac-12. The Power Conference is really underway today. We break it all down next, including a nice over in that Michigan game. We'll be right back.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Back with you here on Sports Grid. Kevin Walsh, Donnie Wrightside. Let's go to the Big Ten. Big Ten tournament here. Michigan, Indiana. Wow, this is huge. Michigan, I don't think needs the game. Indiana definitely needs the game, or definitely should need the game. I really can't count out how they're going to decide things with the Big Ten. 3.5-point line, Donnie. Wolverines, Hoosiers, in your favorite place in the world, Indianapolis. What do you think about this one?
Yeah, not the biggest game environment since they are playing in Indy for this one, but it is the Big Ten championship here, and I got to tell you, I'm leaning towards the points here. You see right there in that graphic, +3.5. I'm going to go with the Indiana Hoosiers in this game because it's not so much that I think Indiana is a better basketball team or more talented overall than Michigan. I don't think that's the case. And not because Juwan Howard, after a 5-game absence or whatever, is going to come back here and coach the Wolverines. You're going to get a big boost out of this. I sort of lean on and say things could go a little bit wrong here for Michigan, and I lean on defense here, particularly when you're playing in a neutral court. Neutral court advantage like you have in this, or should I say no home court advantage. So if we take a look at Indiana, number one, did you know that number one in conference play on defensive efficiency on that side? And if we try to line it up, Michigan's offense is very good here. Now, they don't get to the free throw line, which maybe you can sort of get after Indiana's defense with, because they're 13th in conference play at fouling and sending you to the line. But take a look at Michigan. They're only 10th overall in conference play, Kevin, at actually drawing the foul and getting to the line. The one thing that's going to be interesting here, where I always talk about styles make fights, if we take a look at two-point distribution for the Michigan Wolverines, close to 58% of their total offense, Kevin, comes inside the arc and off of the free throw line. Why is that important? I just told you, Indiana's a very sound defense in Big Ten action. They're actually 13th in conference play, Kevin, at letting you score inside the arc. So not a great matchup for Michigan already, and you're playing more into the strengths of the Indiana defense. Give me the 3.5 points today with the Indiana Hoosiers, maybe looking for an upset of the Michigan Wolverines, which maybe they have little white knuckles on Sunday waiting to try to get into March Madness.
Don and rolling with points there. As I've been telling people,
yeah,
this is a part of the over group for me. The Michigan Wolverines, 70% of their conference games played to the over. One meeting with Indiana this year, it went over the listed total. Michigan won that game 80-62. The total was 133.5. This total is 136.5. Four teams left, four teams involved there. Michigan, one of them, so I'm playing the over automatically. I did want to bring up quickly Michigan State and Maryland, Donnie. Maryland only catching 3 surprised me a little bit. I know they just played, and I know the number was 6, so you take away home court advantage. In that way, then, it's a little bit less surprising. But considering that Michigan State just won that basketball game by double digits, and just considering that Michigan State, I think, is viewed as a comfortable, better basketball team, because the number's down to 2.5, it's -138. The fact that Michigan State's money line, I would argue, is very palatable at -138, I think if I was a Spartans fan, would throw me off a little bit here, no?
No, it does throw you off a little bit, and I guess it comes down to your Michigan. One of the things that we used to know about Tom Izzo teams, very fundamentally sound. Not so much this year, Kevin. Yeah. 14th out of 14 teams here in the conference at turning the basketball over. Very un-Izzo-like, but sometimes we just try to take a look at one thing that this team does well over a bad Maryland team, and that's make the three-point shot. They're number one. You wouldn't think of that, right? Michigan State, number one in conference play, making the three-point shot close to 38%. And also, keep in mind, the defense for the Michigan State Spartans, number one, Kevin, in conference play at defending the three-point line. Sometimes it's so simple, and I don't want to overcomplicate and say, hey, let me really read into this line and see what's wrong. Michigan State's a better basketball team. Michigan State still needs to win. They should win this game against the Maryland Terrapins.
I agree. The line is interesting, though. You try and respect the line there. We'll see what Michigan State and Maryland looks like. Fun day of Big Ten action. Iowa is going to be getting involved with Northwestern on that card. And then that fourth and final game is Ohio State-Penn State. That'll be the last one played. Going over to the SEC, 4 games in action. Alabama-Vanderbilt. Is Alabama once again on upset alert? I have to tell you, man, I'm going to find myself, I think, trying to go contrarian on Bama come bracket time, as everybody in the world is going to pick them to lose in the opening round. You know that, Donnie. We were talking to people yesterday, like, I can't wait for them to lose to a 12 seed here. But Bama might go out here and lose to a Vanderbilt group right away to start this SEC tournament. This is who Alabama is.
This is who Alabama is, and this is actually a very fun game because typically you don't look and say, hey, let me get a take a look at Vanderbilt here versus Alabama. Ah, there's better games on the board. There might be so, but for what I like to take a look at, which is the three-point shot, both of these teams, Kevin, love to shoot it. Look in conference play, number third overall in conference play at volume behind the three-point line. That's Vanderbilt. Take a look at Alabama, even better. They're number one. Close to 50% of their shots come from behind the arc. So to me, that certainly makes a fun environment. But also, if we take a look at Vanderbilt, here's the interesting part about them. They're number one in conference play at getting to the free throw line by a wide margin. So if you couple that with shooting the three-point shot and if that's going down, including driving to the rim and getting fouled, that's a tough out here for Alabama. But as we've said, Kevin, usually when I talk about Alabama, what is it? It's a three-point shot. It's, hey, look, if they're hot from three-point range, nobody's going to be able to touch them. And it just is what it is. But at the same time, Vanderbilt can match them three-point shot for three-point shot. Because the one thing that we know about Alabama, they love to shoot the three-point shot, Kevin. But one of the worst teams at actually converting and making the three-point shot in conference play, only shooting at 29%. Heck, Vanderbilt shoots a lot of threes, Kevin, close to 37% from three-point range. Upset alert today? Could be. Vandy looked good yesterday, too.
Yeah, very well could be. Vanderbilt has covered eight of their last 8-1-1 against the spread in their last 10. Alabama has been pitiful against the number as a favorite. And that run, by the way, includes Vanderbilt covering a 4.5-point line in a loss to Bama. So the 5.5 could come into play. Before we move on to the Pac-12, the last of the over four is the South Carolina Gamecocks playing Mississippi State. The total for that one, 137.5. South Carolina, again, I've made this very simple, 70% of their conference games to the over. Get involved. But also, look, don't get involved. Pick one of them. It loses. The other three hit and then be like, oh, I thought they were all supposed to hit. We're going for them all. We're 2-0 already. We're trying to go at a 70% clip here. I don't want to hear the madness. South Carolina, though, Mississippi State, let's cash a ticket. Let's get over the number here. We go to the Pac-12. Oregon State yesterday was a part of the over group, which I appreciated there. But I wanted to bring up, Donnie, UCLA and Washington State. UCLA has been an odd one to me. As they came into the season with these monstrous expectations, understandably so, bringing so many of the players back from last year's group, they beat Villanova in their second game in what was an odd one where Nova didn't score for like the last 10 minutes of the game. They were absolutely smashed by Gonzaga, but I was like, ah, that's fine. It'll happen. Then during the Pac-12 play, I feel like they just weren't that exciting because Arizona was just so clearly the better team within this conference. But UCLA today versus Washington State laying 7.5 with a 132.5. What do you think about the Bruins in this matchup?
Yeah, Bruins should win here. And also, the East Coast bias, I like to say. I don't get to watch very many UCLA games. And like last year, like, oh, man, should they even have gotten into the tournament? And they make it a heck of a run. This is one of those teams and the capabilities, including their head coach, that can make a run here. And maybe we're overlooking them because we forget that the Pac-12, not a very good overall conference, certainly top-heavy here. But if we're looking at top-heavy, UCLA, number two in conference play at offensive efficiency. How about UCLA, number one by a decent margin here in defensive efficiency? So whenever I'm going up against a team or I'm trying to play a team like Washington State going up against UCLA, how can I try to take advantage of that? There's not really too much you can do unless Washington State makes the three-point shot. I'm continuing to talk about this. The ultimate equalizer. You can't say, hey, if they make their threes, well, if there's 12 teams in Pac-12 play and they shoot the 12th amount of volume, that's not going to work out. But you take a look at this team, Kevin. Number one in conference play at volume from three-point range. If you make your shots, that could help. But having said that, I just told you UCLA's defense is number one overall in conference play at efficiency. Number two at turning you over. Number two at defending the three-point line. There's not a lot to love for Washington State here unless you're just saying, well, hey, UCLA is still bored at this time. I think this is the time of the year that UCLA could possibly turn it on and really get after it. I don't want any piece of Washington State in this game tonight.
You talk about the UCLA defense outside of Pauley Pavilion, 10-4 the under. Again, trying to navigate how much you can carry, you know, those trends over in a neutral court game, but something to consider, certainly. I wanted to bring up Oregon, Colorado, because Oregon is not on the, you know, doesn't seem to be, Donnie, on the bubble for bracketology, but Oregon is a team that entered with, top 25 team in the AP top 25. They had their expectations. Net ranking places them right now at 72. They've got 4 wins versus quad one opponents. I think the big issue for them is holding a 3-6 record versus the second quadrant. But a win over Colorado today could go a long way. At the minimum, it gives them a chance in a very likely game versus Arizona. But Colorado, Donnie, is not going to be an easy out. We just saw this team go out there and beat Arizona. Colorado's playing some good basketball, but it's the Ducks favored in this matchup here. What do you think about Oregon and Colorado?
Yeah, I'm going to take this light dog here on Colorado, Kevin. And sometimes in conference tournament play, you're just trying to lean your hat on a few different situations here. Effective field goal percentage for Colorado in conference play, that's number 2 overall. And why is that a big deal? Well, take a look at this. 39% of the three-point shots from behind the arc are splashing down through the net. That's number 1 in conference play. And also, when you're taking a look here, and I brought this statistic up a little bit earlier today, you're playing on neutral court sites. These games are going to be close. Why? It's lined at -1, -1.5. So you figure it's going to come down the stretch. You know who's number 1 from the free throw line in conference play? Colorado. So number 1 from behind the arc and number 1 at free throw percentage at 77% as a team. Get this. Also, when we're taking a look at, you can be a great free throw shooting team and not get there all that much. But look at the point distribution. Number 1 in conference play, Kevin, Colorado, at getting to the line and converting, close to 20% of their points come from the free throw line. And in a close game, that could be the deciding factor. Getting to the line and making your free throws in a close game, Colorado can do that. Give me the slight dog here in Colorado to pull a mild upset over Oregon.
And look, Colorado, I mentioned the Oregon, 72 spot in net. Colorado, 74. Also, not necessarily on the bubble. One of these teams is going to advance and almost assuredly play Arizona, who's a 15-point favorite today versus Stanford. If the winner of this game beats Arizona, they have a chance. Now, the reality is if the winner of this game beats Arizona, they're in the Pac-12 tournament championship game. Obviously, one win away from winning the entire thing. Very, very important game today between Colorado and Oregon. One of the most important on the board. I mentioned the Arizona game. The other Pac-12 game is USC-Washington. USC is 5.5. Quickly, Donna, just before we hit the break, did you circle anything else up on the college board? I know it's a big one. I know there's a lot of day left. I'm just curious if there was anything else that caught the eye.
No, nothing really caught the eye overall, but there was a couple matchups that we just went over that I think make some sense here. And also, I do think Connecticut's a better basketball team than Seton Hall. They should be able to win and cover with ease today going up against them, even though Seton Hall, hey, it's close, and they play at this arena a lot. Not the big deal here. I'm going to go Connecticut as a nice little easy winner. It's early.
And let me just tell people as well, Moneyline, 1 to 3 p.m. Eastern on Sports Grid Radio. Myself and Donnie.
Live.
We're going to use those in-play Sports Tonight chops as we will have a ton of live basketball to break down. Toledo Central Michigan starts the card at 11 a.m. East time. It just rocks all day long. Listen up. Next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Segment of the day for the early line here on a Thursday. Sirius XM channel 159 right here on the grid. Donnie Wrightside, Kevin Wall setting the table 7 to 9 a.m. before we hand it off to Ben Stevens and the morning after over the next 3 hours. College basketball certainly is on our mind and should be, but my goodness, baseball, get it together. You people, listen up. All right. I know, we're focused on college basketball. Today is a sensational card from the Power 5 conferences across the landscape, and I cannot wait to start watching basketball before noon today. Great stuff. Now, Major League Baseball, on the other hand, not so great stuff. Yesterday, I woke up, I saw a tweet in the middle of the night that said, we might have a deal by daybreak for Major League Baseball. And now it turns out, not only by daybreak we don't have a deal, we're canceling more of our Major League Baseball games. If we take a look here, Major League Baseball opening day, now looking to be April 14th, as opposed to the last few days in March, 2 weeks of the season already wiped out. And here's where it gets worse. Because the Major League Baseball players, even though these games are going to get wiped out, they still want to be paid for all 162. So you know that's going to be an issue. But why can't we just come to an agreement at this point? Being so close, billions and billions of dollars at stake, and it seems like we're just fighting over millions and millions of dollars. Bridge the gap. Have the season. So many good things are coming into our lives in Major League Baseball this year. The possibility of a pitch clock here. The possibility of DHs in both leagues here. Bigger bases to avoid collisions so we have less injuries. So many things to look forward to, and yet it still seems like we are so far away from a Major League Baseball season. Now, maybe today, by the time Kevin and myself take the air for the money line, we'll have an agreement on baseball. I'm not holding my breath, but you know we are going to have a great day of college basketball, so you got to stay tuned here through the grid. I can't wait for this weekend. Unbelievable Selection Sunday is right on deck. Make sure you guys stay tuned up next year. Ben Stevens in the morning after. They got you covered over the next 3 hours. As for the early line, we'll see you bright and early on Friday morning. Have a good night.
What's up, Foos? Main Event Jey Uso here from the WWE. When it's just me between matches, it's day one-ish. And that means it's Chumba time. With hundreds of casino-style games and new titles arriving weekly, there's always something fresh to try at Chumba Casino. The daily boosts make it even more fun. And have me about to get them all during my downtime. Ready for a fun way to chill out and enjoy a few minutes for yourself? Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.